Hello, everyone. This is Cassie Burns, co-founder of All Your Data. I'm an attorney who's been using AI and machine learning for 10 years. I love data and love talking to people about data, and that's what this podcast is about. Each episode of Cassie and will feature a new guest. Each guest comes from a different background with a different approach and attitude towards technology. We'll talk about their experiences and hopefully we'll learn a thing or two. Thanks for joining. Let's get started with Cassie and Emily Carrig. Emily, thank you so much for joining us here on this next episode of Cassie. So, Emily Carrig, you and I met, as so many of my guests, on LinkedIn, because you are at the forefront in emerging tech. I would love for you to introduce yourself to the audience and tell what your slice of emerging tech is all about.
Thanks, Cassie. I come from like the crypto NFT world. And so I fell into that back in 2020 and started posting a lot of content, writing content about Web3 and NFTs, and unexpectedly gained a following because that was like sort of the hot topic back during the pandemic. Things really took off. And then I decided to start my own magazine called True Stars, and we feature creatives and artists and entrepreneurs in Web3. And the idea is that we're building a community-driven media brand.
So I'm going to dig into a few things before we talk about your magazine launch. And I want to talk a little bit about where you grew your following. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe a lot of that was on Twitter, which is now X, because there is like Twitter crypto world. But you and I met on LinkedIn. So can you tell a little bit about those communities, how they're different, and how you're maybe seeing LinkedIn versus X now?
Yeah, sure. So when I first got into crypto, I listened to a lot of people on Twitter and on YouTube. Also, there's a lot of thought leaders, I guess you would say, on Twitter. And I guess the major distinction with Twitter is, or X, is that it's really more focused on the degen community. So I was really involved in like degen, NFT, crypto trading. And for anyone who's not familiar, degen is short for degenerate, and it's sort of a culture that has evolved from like stock trading into crypto, and it's a riskier type of trading. That's why it gets its name. But NFTs, like the NFT degens, have a certain like pride around like being called a degen. So if you're interested in more of that, Twitter is kind of the place. But LinkedIn has more of like the professional Web3 crowd and those who are sort of like casually, professionally interested in Web3. And I feel like the community on there is a lot more stable in that who you're talking to for the most part. On Twitter, there's a lot of like big influencers, and then everyone just reply guys to them. There is definitely a Web3 community on Twitter. I keep calling it Twitter, but you know what I'm talking about. They're two very different communities. And so I think it's important to have some exposure into both if you're into this industry. I don't spend as much time on Twitter now just because of a lot of the changes on there. And also, I got scammed last year. I'm not able to really participate in the degen community quite as much. Like I don't have as much skin in the game, so to speak. So I've been focused more on being like a founder.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Maybe lead with a cautionary tale, but then end on a high note. What all you've been doing the past 6-9 months? I'll say the first time I ever posted or responded about an NFT, my DMs were flooded. I got not only my DMs, but got tagged in so many scammy messages that it just was a little bit, not overwhelming, but it definitely made my red flag alert go off of, I'm not clicking on any link, nothing. Like I was so cautious after that because, I mean, those bots that are out there, and I'm sure it's a bots driven type of a mechanism. Once I see you engaging in that community, you instantly become a target. But can you share a little bit what that scam experience was like for you and how easy it is for anyone to fall victim to that?
Yeah, you brought up a lot of good points. Just the other day, I tweeted or I posted scam on Twitter, and I got immediately a ton of bots just replying and telling me to contact this person. And obviously, they're all scams. So there's still a ton of bots on Twitter, X, even despite a lot of their efforts. So my particular scam case, it happened January of 2023. And it wasn't the first time I was scammed. I had, like, earlier on in my NFT journey, I accidentally clicked on a link through Twitter, and it was a very convincing MetaMask, like it looked like I was talking to MetaMask support. And I was still new at that point and didn't know. And it only took a second for my wallet to get drained. And the good thing about it, though, I didn't have a whole lot of crypto in that wallet. I did have some very valuable NFTs, but that particular bot was only programmed to drain out my crypto. So I lost $400 in crypto, which sucked. But then I had some really valuable NFTs that what it had done was it locked my NFTs in my wallet and I wasn't able to transfer them out. Long story short, like I was just determined to figure out how I'm going to get my NFTs out because they were still in my possession. And that's the crazy thing is like they're still in your possession, but you can't get them because of the way that the bot is programmed. So what I did was, I don't advise this, but I was desperate. And at that point, there wasn't anything you can do. Like you can't just Google, you can't call the police or whatever. I talked to a bunch of different just people I didn't know in random Discords, and they pointed me toward the Flashbots Discord. And there's a guy involved in them in that project. His name's Alex Minuskin. And he's actually a white hat hacker who can front run bots like this. So what he was able to do, I miraculously got in touch with him, and he was able to front run the bot and transfer my NFTs into a safe wallet. So that was the happy ending of that story. But most recently, I did get scammed last year. Very similarly, like I should have known better, but I clicked on a specific link that it looked like something I had already interacted with. And so I didn't really get like the danger warning signals. My guard was down. It was for this website that I thought I had already connected my wallet to. And as soon as I realized, oh, that was maybe like not the smartest thing, all of a sudden my assets were drained. Well, it was a malicious contract that made me sell my NFTs to them for like 27 cents or something. That one was tougher because the NFTs were actually out of my wallet, and then immediately they were sold on secondary, and then the scammer moved my crypto from wallet to wallet. Long story short, I was able to get, through my contacts, I was able to get the Secret Service to trace my stolen crypto, and they went through many different decentralized exchanges and DeFi mixers. This is one thing where scammers are able to like hide their tracks because it goes through so many mixers, and you have to have really advanced software like Chainalysis to be able to get through that. So they were able to trace, and finally they found the guy who stole my NFTs. But at that point, he had already cashed out the crypto, and he was a German. So at that point, once it was in fiat currency, the authorities can't do anything about it. They have to have a treaty. It's an MLAT, and you have to have like over $1 million in loss for that to be triggered. So it was a real bummer, but a cool story, I guess, like a very expensive, cool story to tell.
Oh, Emily, that it's frustrating to get so close to know who it is and then realizing that they cashed out. They cashed it to fiat. And really what that's doing too, it's like a get out of jail free card for these scammers, like knowing that there's that loophole in place. Do you know if there's any change to adjust that threshold or not anything you're aware of?
I think that the system as it is, like the law enforcement hasn't really caught up to a lot of these things that are happening, like in crypto and decentralization. So it's going to take a long time for that to adjust. The actual good thing about crypto is that you can definitely trace and find the person. Whereas with fiat, there's ways to fudge things. It can be much harder to actually find a criminal. There's a lot of things that have to change outside of crypto for that to be successful. Because like I said, and you mentioned, there's a lot of red tape and things. But yeah, I'm hopeful. There's a lot of different people working on it. We'll see. It's going to take time, I think.
Well, and it's encouraging to me that the Secret Service got involved and took it seriously. Maybe that's a step in the right direction. And, you know, they pursued it. Because I think the last time we talked, I don't think I knew about that. So it seems like that they've been really working at it. That's a good thing to hear about.
I was lucky because normally they would not have taken a little case like mine, at least like just an individual. But there's a lot. I've been talking to a lot of people in crypto crime investigation. And actually, a lot of these smaller cases, they're able to catch big fish because they all trace back to organized crime or something. The feds are interested in smaller cases, and there's a whole lot of controversy. People are in decentralization because, or in Web3, because they don't want their money. They don't want the government to have a lot of control over the money. And I understand all that too. It puts all the responsibility on the holder in that case. I was lucky also that the agent was part of this crypto task force in my state. Apparently the Secret Service where I live are very into NFTs, and they were just like excited about it, I guess. So
that's a plus. So let's talk about being into NFTs, because I'm a fan of NFTs, in particular those that are focused on community. That's something that really caught my attention, and I've bought NFTs myself that, again, are very community focused or tell a story, artistic. There's new IP associated with it. And I want to hear about the new project you're working on, because I know there's Web3 community, NFTs all wrapped up, and it's something I think is really exciting.
Yes, NFTs have gone through their boom and bust period, which has been a challenge for those of us who have stuck around. And when I first started True Stars, which is the NFT project that I'm doing now, it was actually, it was early 2022. So it was really when the NFT was like boom, NFT bull market was just booming. I had people left and right and VCs coming after me, like trying to get me to come up with an idea for them. And it was like a really euphoric period. And someone came to me and was like, let's start an NFT project. And I was like, oh man, this is like, you don't even know. This is going to be like really a lot of work. Because a lot of people think, oh, I can just drop some NFTs and make like $1 million or something. But there's a lot of work involved. NFT communities, especially in that time, were very demanding because there was a lot of pressure for their NFT value to go up. Like, nobody wants to lose money. And then all the speculating and all of that, most of that has, I don't know if I would say most of that, but people are pretty jaded now when it comes to NFTs. And so when I first started this project, it was during that time, and it was really just supposed to be an NFT project. And we were excited about the artwork, and the idea about it was to be your true self. Is something that's possible for people online in a way that isn't in real life. There's a certain like online identity, a lot of anonymous people in this field, and it's okay for the most part. But then the market tanked, all these things started happening, and like we had to go back to the drawing board. What I think came out of all of that was just realizing that these NFT projects, a lot of them didn't have sustainable businesses. They didn't have a reason for people to hold their NFTs. And so that's why speculation and these number go up mentality were, that was the main focus. But with True Stars, like I said, I went back to the drawing board and I realized what I really liked doing and I found a lot of value in was writing. And I would write about all these things that were happening to me, getting scammed and all the different things that were happening, and realized that I had sort of like a column in a magazine. That's how I thought of myself, is like, I'm writing a column. And after getting scammed, I got tired of just like writing some of my best content and putting it on LinkedIn or Twitter, where I'm generating ad revenue for these social media platforms. So I thought, like, the next step, I thought it would be a fun idea to start a magazine and invite people who I think are really great content creators and thinkers, and they're doing cool stuff, and then give them their own columns. And longer term, we want to help people to monetize their content. That's generally what True Stars has evolved into at this point.
Can you tell us a little bit about how frequently you're publishing? Is it web only or digital only, or is there a thought to also have a hard copy version of the publications?
So we have launched, but it's really a very soft launch. And it's basically like people who have applied who want to start writing, and then other people who I think could add really cool perspectives. It's a slow moving thing. We have certain targets, like we want to put out like a stream of content. We're working towards that. Longer term, we really want to have a platform that helps these creators to monetize what they're doing. As far as like print publishing, I think we'd love to do something like that, but like special editions that the community holders get like a special version of it or discounts. It's an experiment of what does a decentralized magazine look like? What are some things that we can do with that? But I've been bootstrapping, and so that's been the main difficulty, was holding this thing together on a prayer. Like, we're publishing on WordPress right now just to get things going. But longer term, we'd like to build out our own platform for True Stars.
Well, and I think that's really inspiring, because I think so many of us think, I can't put something out there if it's not 100% perfect. And there's that inclination to wait and hold and hold and hold. And then it's in the prime perfect world, the perfect state, your vision. I have found that I've gotten over that inclination, and it's better just to get it out there, have it still be like the core message, still be thoughtful. But even if you're starting in a version or in a method or whatever, that's not your final goal, just getting out there and doing and creating, that will help you pick up momentum. And you may end up going a different direction, but it's still, at least you're out there doing, creating, and getting yourself out there and getting other people encouraged to do the same. I do have a question. You talked about holders. So are people who participate as contributors, is there an NFT element to that? Can you talk about that structure a little bit?
Yeah. So we're starting out inviting people to contribute, and then they can also apply by pitching a story. And so if you pitch a story and you get published, you get our all access pass, which is an NFT, and that will get you basically the highest level of membership in the community. I don't want to promise too much at this point as we're starting out, but we want to give those people like entrance into all the events that we do, discounts on partnering brands, and longer term, I want to use True Stars and IP for creators. So let's say we start a marketplace where physical and digital artists can list things that they've made. I'm talking to a few different designers right now who we'd like to have create like True Stars merchandise, and then they sell it on the platform and it helps them to get their work seen. And I would really love for True Stars to be a place where people can get their start. Just like mixing like emerging and established creators and designers. So yeah.
And it wouldn't have to be True Star focused artwork. It could be their own artwork, but because they're a contributor to True Stars, it creates a platform for them to be able to sell their work. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. We have to work on that. And it's obviously further out, but I think we could have like a True Stars label. And then, yeah, anyone who's in our community could also list non-True Stars IP related stuff. But yeah, it's all very idea stage at this point. Just thinking about a magazine that's alive and the community runs it, basically.
Well, one thing I love about Web3 and the power of Web3, powered by NFTs, really, a digital asset, maybe not quote unquote NFT, is it, and you've talked about it, is giving that ownership, that power, that control back to the creator and not necessarily the platform. I've dabbled in having an Instagram social media account that's focused on something, not my personal life, but just talking about skincare and beauty. And it was a hobby for me, but I have people that started up at the same time and they now have 20, 30, 100, 200,000 followers. And they put a lot of time and effort into that. And a lot of times the way they're able to get money back is from getting deals with brands and things like that. But to actually get remuneration from the content itself, because the benefit is if it's associated with the NFT, you can track what's done with that creation and maybe who it gets distributed, who sees it, and there can be a rollback potentially. And maybe that's not in your current setup right now, but I know that's broadly speaking Web3 content creator economy. It yeah. really sets the platform for that being an option.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea. If you were to have Cassie's skincare column where you talk about, because I know you're really into skincare, you could say these are Cassie's picks for spring 2024. And then you link back to that, the skincare lines that you like. And yeah, you could get like affiliate marketing for that. And I think that there's probably things that we could work on in Web3 to help that, to help creators. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's really doing that right now with Web3, but I think
I feel like there's the promise of that. There is the potential of that. I love it because I think the creators are creating the content that we're consuming in many ways. And it's very, yeah. very creative, very entertaining. And, you know, we really want to give back to those creators. And there's a really great book by Professor Edward Lee called The Creator Economy. If you've not read it, he's been a guest of mine before. He's an IP law professor. He's for anyone out there who's an artist, a creator, and you want to get a sense of what the potential power of Web3 and NFTs can be for artists, that's a really great resource to look at. Mm-hmm. So I know that you launched and it's kind of a soft launch. What are you have road mapped out for 2024? What's your kind of vision board look like for the coming year?
We just want to grow our contributor community, our contributor network, which we're calling the Constellation.
I love that. I whenever I saw that, I was like, oh, I love this so much. So
it's cute, right?
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine like we have people from like 10 countries now. So I just imagine little stars all over the map with where people are. So that's really our main focus right now, is just growing that and testing it and trying to put out the best content that we can and amplify people who are not seen as often, who are doing really impressive things. So that's like the first phase. And I don't want to say too much long term, just because we may have to pivot. And this is just the nature of entrepreneurship. And I think a lot of founders really shot themselves in the foot by putting out roadmaps that were just so detailed. So that's what we're doing right now. We really want people who are passionate about Web3, just passionate about writing and educating people and building their own brand, because that's what we want to help people do. And we also were testing the editorial focus, really, because I would love the community to be able to help with editorial and decide who's on the cover, stuff like that, like the community nominates. And so there's a lot of things that we want to try out, but we're still building, like, in the very early stage right now. So
I like that idea of community voting. There's a beauty brand I'm seeing that they're doing, like, the audience engagement of, you can submit recommendations for nail polish and the community votes on it. And I feel like that is going to be a very trending, emerging way for brands to engage with their audience. And I love that seeing or hearing about True Stars doing, considering the same type of thing.
Yeah, I think it puts power back in the people's hands. I hear criticism about these kind of platforms that do this because a lot of the time it ends up being like a popularity contest, right? Especially with social media. We'll be thinking about all these things, but especially voting on products and stuff, I think that can be helpful because people then know what to trust. Yep.
Emily, we are getting here at the end of our podcast session. I would love for you to share your closing thoughts or what you're looking forward to in 2024.
That's a good question. I've been thinking lately, there's just so much that the space has gone through over the past few years. I'm a lot more optimistic about 2024 when it comes to the market. It seems to be recovering really nicely, but I'm tired of basing my emotions and my outlook based on the market. And I think what I'm really actually looking forward to is just documenting interesting people and writing about them. I'm doing a series on fashion tech right now and just realizing there's so many inspiring people working in that nobody knows about. So we're going to be putting out some content soon. I think that's what really inspires me, is like finding these really cool, like, undiscovered gems. I think that's really what True Stars is about.
Yeah. And hearing you say fashion tech got me so excited. I think that's a really great closing note, because AI has gotten a lot of people's attention, but there are a lot of stealth builders in these other areas of emerging tech that I think is going to catch people off guard in 2024, and it's going to roll in hard and really be inspiring and exciting. I think fashion tech is one, beauty tech is another, of course, spatial computing, but it's going to be an interesting year. Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. I've learned a lot, and I know my audience has as well. Thank you, Emily. And to the audience, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope to have you join us on the next episode of Cassie and